We are two guys in our mid-30s with wives, kids, jobs, and we started with shaky 11 handicaps. But we've gotten a little bit better, and we're still trying to become scratch golfers this year. This is Chasing Scratch. Episode 15, The Decisions. All right, this is Mike.
And this is Eli.
And today we have a lot of golf to talk about. But before we get into that, we wanted to thank everybody who sent us questions. We got more questions than we imagined we would get. And we wanted to let you know we have answered all of those questions, but it went a little longer than we thought. So what we're going to do is put out a bonus episode. It will be completely the answers to your questions, and we will also reveal the winners of the Chasing Scratch logo Vice golf balls. We're going to put that bonus podcast out a few days after we put this one out. But for today, we have a lot to catch up on. At the end of our last episode, we had 6 weeks until the end of our quest. And with that finite amount of time, every decision is amplified. Do we practice or play? 18 holes or 9 holes? Which course? Blue tees or black tees? Do you play aggressive or play safe? The decisions we make in this stretch will define our final handicap number, and every decision at this stage matters. We'll start this episode with one of those decisions. 2 weeks ago, I received a voice note from Eli one morning after he decided to play another round at Lakeside.
All right. I need a TI-82 calculator. I think that was the name of the souped-up calculator when I was a kid. Texas Instruments made. I need to call Texas Instruments. I need to get their most sophisticated, powerful calculator to tally what just went on at Lakeside. Because it was a gruesome scene. This was a Stephen King novel. Honestly, this feels like a year ago when I just had nothing. I am so far in no man's land. I'm honestly scared about the next month and a half of golf. I've got nothing right now. Absolutely nothing. And I don't know where to go. I don't know if I go back. I can't even find my old swing. I can't find this new thing. I'm concerned.
What Eli just described there added up to a 94, a score that moved his handicap in the wrong direction, from a 7.2 to a 7.5. Of all the lows we've had on this quest, this had to be the lowest. I knew it was bad when he wouldn't answer his phone for 2 days. When I finally got him on the phone a few days later, I decided to pull out all the stops. I've decided I need to take a drastic step.
Okay.
We've pulled out all the stops. I'm talking to you on FaceTime because I need you to see my face. I want you to look. I want you to look at my face.
I've got to describe what I've got to describe to the listeners what I'm looking at right now. Mike has taken a screenshot from the movie Good Will Hunting of psychiatrist Sean, and he's gouged out his eyes, and he's holding it over his face.
Nothing else has worked. This is the scene. This is the breakthrough scene. This is when he finally gets Will to break down.
It's not your fault.
In this case, it is your fault. You need to get in character right now. Listen, you took the train over here. You just took the train over here. We're in a session. You're looking at my painting.
This is a bad storm.
And I'm telling you, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you. I heard your voice note. You've been avoiding me for 2 days. Please stop playing this course for all of us. It is your fault. Admit it and move on.
Wow. It's come to that point.
It's come to that.
It's come to printing off a picture of of a character from a movie, cutting his eye sockets out, placing it over your face, and having a conversation with me at 12 o'clock at night.
It's a point we always dreamed it would come to.
This goes back into the, I'd like to tell everyone that we went to college with what we're doing nowadays. But I appreciate the level it's gotten to for you to have to make this kind of move.
Well, I'm just saying, let's get real for a second. Your handicap went the wrong way.
It did. Hasn't done that since a year ago.
I know. You went to from a 7.2 to a 7.5. And I know that you're on this quest to defeat Lakeside, but I'm just asking you. Is it finally time?
I'll say this. You know the point I'm at right now. Confidence is incredibly low. You have claimed for 2 months that it's because of the course. I've went the other way and tried to reshape everything about my life around rebuilding my golf swing. But here's what I will tell you. One of us... I
haven't told you this. Eli weakened a little bit, but even in the face of Sean, he would not swear off Lakeside. So, while Eli was dead set on self-inflicted torture and despair, I was in a completely different place. Let me tell you a little bit about how my life was going. It was the complete opposite. I woke up every morning to the basking warmth of a bright sunshine. I was walking barefoot in dewy meadows. I ordered a Bob Ross collector set and started painting happy trees. I'm almost hesitant to put some of this audio in public, but it is what it is. This is me coming back from the driving range 2 weeks ago. I'm in a place right now with driver and three wood that I've never been. I've never been this good. And it makes me so happy. Golf is so much more fun. I don't even know how I played. Why did I even play golf without being able to hit those clubs? Remember the driver report that I gave to Eli? The one where it was rope hook, duck hook, pull hook, snap hook, rope hook, duck hook? I just did the exact opposite of that. I went through my practice routine. I got all the way to driver. And I just hit 10 stripes in a row, and I just left. I just ran out of the range. I just picked up my clubs. I left probably 18 balls sitting there. If I just did not have any responsibilities, I feel like I could drive to a course right now and go low. I hate to even say the words out loud, but I'm in a good place. I'm at a better place than I've ever been. Golf-wise, right now. With my momentum and confidence sky high, the next golf league night, I decided to take the advice of listener and River Ridge frequenter Brett Danforth, and I played the tips. And I came out firing. I can honestly say it was the best driving round of my life. Unfortunately, I didn't make many putts. And by the time I reached the 17th hole, I was 6 over par. We now join my dramatic reading to Eli, already in progress. So I'm 6 over.
Okay, going into everyone's favorite hole.
6 over, going into 17.
So wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute. This hole's already miserable. What? How much more miserable is it from the tips?
Yeah, that's. I was just getting there. So, all manner of disaster. Whatever you're picturing, picture it from 167. That's what I normally play it. It's normally 167.
Okay.
I never even looked at the tips before. They're 197.
Whoa!
So, I'm back on that tee box, and everything looks... I mean, the landing spot already looks tiny, but I mean, you can see the shark circling.
So what club... I just kind of assume from this point on, you don't hit anything other than 7-iron. Did you hit 7-iron no matter where you were?
No, this is a 5-iron, but I, you know, my whole mindset was I was trying to get, I wasn't trying to par, I was trying to birdie.
Wow. Okay.
And I stepped up and hit an absolute laser.
Here we go.
8 feet.
Ooh.
The only problem is the 8-footer had 3 feet of break.
This hole is awful. Every time I think it can't get any worse, it gets worse.
Complete side hill. And missed the putt, tap in par. But par, you know, par on that hole, I was still proud of the tee shot.
Yeah.
Going into 18, I'm 6 over. Definite birdie hole. Hit a decent drive. I'm in the fairway. And I get up to the ball. I am 237 uphill. The pin is tucked left back against the water. What's also running through my mind at this point is a par is 78, which from the tips is a 4 handicap differential.
Ooh.
But I'm thinking about eagle. Eagle would be 76, which would be a 2 handicap differential.
Holy cow. And that would move the needle.
Right. But I could still make birdie playing safe. What I normally do is I play to the front of the green and I just aim right because there's no trouble right.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at that pin and I'm thinking about I'm one good shot away from an eagle.
Oh, it's go time.
So I pull the 3-iron. I set up directly at it. It's a good strike. It starts at the pin. And it draws.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And then it draws some more.
Stop it.
And then it goes in the lake.
I thought we said don't go left.
Felt like I had to go for it. And then where it crossed was not a great dropping spot. And I know you have a lot of confidence in my short game. I appreciate that. But I was not able to get up and down. So it was.
Oh, so you bogeyed?
Bogey and a 79. But, you know, feel good. First time playing that course from those tees.
First time you played the tips, that's a pretty big boost to the handicap. Are you going to keep playing those or are you going to go back to the blues?
I'm thinking about it. So let me tell you the upside of the tips was I did not run out of room on the fairways all day. So there's a couple spots from the tees that are further up, mm-hmm, that are dog legs that I can hit through. From the back tees, it kind of freed me up a little bit because I could just swing away knowing that I could not hit through the dog leg. So I like that. And I hit 12 out of 14 fairways. Driving was not a problem.
Holy
today.
Cow.
What
was your average? Let me ask you this. What was your average approach shot if you just had to kind of just guesstimate it on the tips compared to what your average is on the blues?
Maybe 20, 25 yards further. But I mean, I'm still coming in most of the time. I'd say my average approach was a 8 or 9 iron.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's a pretty big difference though from like a gap.
Yeah. And that's where I'm kind of leaning because I think long term, if I were to continue to play this course forever, like into next year, I think I would probably play the back tees. Mm-hmm. But I think given the amount of rounds I have left, I'm just so familiar now with what clubs off the tee will put me with what clubs coming into the green. Mm-hmm. I know on number one, I know the exact place to put it to clear the dog leg to hit the ridge going down, and I've got 80 yards in. Like I know what that shot is, and I don't know those lines as well from the tip. So even though, I mean, I can't describe to you how well I hit the driver today. If I was off a little bit, I'm just a little bit scared of what that would put me in. So I think for the rest of this year, my best chance to score the way we've got to score is from the blues.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So wait, what did your handicap move to after this?
Well, that's the other thing. What I didn't realize was that a 78 would have got me into the fives.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So had I not gone for the eagle, I could have laid up and easily had a putt for birdie, easily made par for 78, probably easily could have made birdie for 77. But instead, I made 79. That brings me to a 6.0.
Good night. That is still low as can be.
Still happy. Still happy with that. But my dad is looking at me right now and he's saying, I told you.
I told you wouldn't get there, and you're worthless and weak. And you're looking back at him going, I don't want your life.
Being a six at West Canaan might have been the best time of your life.
You feel like chicken tonight?
Oh, let's go, let's go.
Mox, you're the five now.
Let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
I'm walking out that door. You guys walk behind me. Let's go, let's go.
Let's go, let's go.
Oh. What was his name, the head coach?
John
Voight played?
Bud Kilmer.
We've got to have a Kilmering. That's got to work its way in.
A Kilmer is when...
There's so many ways you could go with a Kilmer.
Yeah, there's plenty. Let's see, you could choke somebody. you could threaten to screw with someone's scholarships. You could drive a LeBaron.
An 84 LeBaron.
Is it really just when you're trying to, like, when me or you are at a low point in a golf round, which we've been at many times this year, and the other one is trying to cheer them up, and you say, "Let's go, let's go,
let's go, let's go,
let's go, let's go, come on, come on, let's go."
Kilmer was. I'm going the other way. I think it's blind optimism. Kilmer walked out of the locker room thinking he still had the team. I think this is a great time. I think you looking at what you need to get to scratch would be Kilmering. Like, I only need to put up three even par rounds, a 63, a 68, and a 70 on a course I've never played in Alabama. Let's go, let's go. Let's go, let's go.
Let's go, let's go. I'm walking out that door. You come with me.
I'm walking out of that door. You guys walk behind me. Let's go, let's go.
You put that needle in his leg. None of us ever play for you. Okay, we're going to stop this tangent right here. You'll be shocked to know that we spent the next 10 minutes talking about Varsity Blues and Bud Kilmer. We will spare you. But if you want to hear more, we've cut that and we've added that to the end of the credits on this episode in the outtakes. Now, at this point, I was a 6.0. Eli was a 7.5. Me feeling great, Eli feeling not so great. But a few days later, that all changed.
All right, I'm scared to even say the words that I'm getting ready to say. But that is the second range session in the last 5 days where the feel-goods have been present. That, what I just put on was a stripe show. I do this game now at the end of my range session where I take the 175-yard marker at the range, and anything inside of 10 feet on any side of that marker, I give myself 2 points for a ball landing in that space. Anything that would land on a normal green but outside of 10 feet, I give myself 1 point. In 20 balls to end the range session, I just put up 20 points, which I have not even come close to doing. Everything felt good. The elbow, the toes, the Velcro. It didn't matter what it was. That was freaking amazing. So this is the first sign of, I'll call it the first sign of life over the last probably 2 months since Mike left for the third major. It's probably the first sign of life I've had since then. This is the first time I felt like some of the work I've been putting in might actually pay off. Now, I need it to pay off in the course here real soon, but this is a good start.
So now Eli finally had some life. And on top of it, on our way to a simultaneous golf league night, he made a stunning announcement.
All right, my friend. Today is the day. Are you playing today?
Yep, I'm playing. Big day.
So where are you going to play? River Ridge?
I'm playing River Ridge. Do I even need to ask where you're going to play?
Well, yes you do, because I am not going to Lakeside tonight.
What?
I have decided that on this most hallow night, I am going to take the rain checks from our round at the Marriott during the third major, and I'm going to play at the Marriott.
Yeah!
Hashtag finally listening.
Come on, we just got a review today that actually said, quit playing Lakeside.
I'm offending our listener. Listeners, I'm sorry, I love you. Don't get angry.
So let me ask this question.
Okay.
What is your number? Because how many rounds do you have left? Do you still have 10 rounds left, you think?
I think I've got, it's 9 or 10. Yeah.
Okay. So assuming it's, but you don't have, in your last 20, all your 70s rounds have fallen off, right?
Yes, they've all been gone. And they just spit on my face on their way out.
Somehow that might be aligned to when you started playing solely Lakeside. I'm not sure.
There may be a correlation there. I'm not sure. I haven't done the math.
We'll run the R. We'll check the R on it. We'll check the standard deviation.
Lenny, can you get on that?
Lenny, can you do some math for us? Appreciate that.
A little diagnostic work.
But I mean, basically, you're next. So every round right now for you has got to be, I mean, we're in the same boat. Every round has got to be 76 and under, probably.
Oh, I was going to say, it's no question. It's got to be in the 70s. That's a no, I mean, that's a done deal.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I really think we need, it really needs to be like, yeah, I don't think it can be higher than 76.
In honor of these pressure-packed rounds, we have instituted a new segment. It's called The Dramatic Reading of the Scorecard, The Remix, featuring live on-course audio. We'll start with Eli, since he was carrying the most pressure.
I definitely felt the pressure going into this round because it had been forever since I had had a dramatic reading. I told Mike in the car I had to be 2 under after the first 3 holes. Now, this might sound ridiculous, but Griffin Gate's course presented 2 par 5s in the first 3 holes, and they were both very accessible and very easy to birdie. If I was going to have any shot at posting a low number, getting under par in the first 3 was a necessity. But after hitting the green in 2 on the first, I 3-putted. And in a matter of minutes, this round had the start that I was getting all too familiar with over the last several weeks.
Dang it. Missed an opportunity. Went to the second tee box. I literally just had a pep talk with myself. I said, you got to be mentally tough today. You got to be mentally tough today. Put it behind
and
you.
I am. These greens are flying. I killed a putt by the hole. Hit a really good putt coming back, and it lipped. 1 over. Unlucky break on the drive. It's sitting under a tree. Second shot had no angle. Punched to just a space where I could hit a shot. Just trying to advance it. Still had to punch again. I hit a really good punch shot, and it rolled through the fairway. These things are like glass. I had to punch it over the rail of the bridge, but under a tree. Like 18 punch shots on this hole. Ridiculous. Oh, my heart's wounded. 15-footer. Beautiful putt, breaking right to left. Heading into the heart. Catches the lip. Half circle, lip out. Landed within about 6 feet, but it was just above the hole with a break. Barely missed the putt, bogey, 3 over. It was a 240-yard par 3. Thank you very much, Mrs. Lippy, for that one. Off to the right with a miserable angle in.
Oh, that hurts. Par 5, I'm on in regulation. I've got about 25 feet. But it is, I mean, I'm on a hit. It's two-tiered. I'm on the hill. So much so that I can't, when I mark my ball, I cannot get it to sit still. I cannot get the speed of these greens. I mean, they are grease. 3-putt, bogey. Finished the front at a 40.
A 4-over front 9 was not exactly what I had in mind when I started this round. But for the first time in a long time, I was actually hitting the ball well. I just wasn't scoring well. I had a really hard time gauging the speed on the greens, but every other part of my game felt really, really good. But going into the back, good was not going to help. I had to put up something great. I parred 10, 11, and 12, but honestly, what I needed was birdies.
Okay, have got to mentally recover from that one. That hurt. Smoked a drive. Had 52 yards to the stick, and I hit it to within about 6 feet and missed the putt. It was just a horrible putt. Oh, I had already chalked that one as a birdie. Might need to take a minute and have a little moment for me right now, because mental state is not healthy after that one. Want to Happy Gilmore my clubs and attack a caddy. This is what this chase has done to me. Another fairway, another green, about a 20-footer downhill, barely missed for birdie. And I'm sitting here bummed out. Gotta get some birds here. Gotta keep that mentality. Realistically, I've got 1, 2, 3. I've got 4 holes left. I'm 4 over. Now, I birdied 18 the last time I was out here. 16 is a birdie hole. 17, eh. And this one, eh. But I got a birdie from here on out. Stood over my tee shot on the par 3, 175-yard, 15th hole. 13 feet, 14 feet for birdie. Straight downhill with a break. That putt was terrifying. put a great roll on it. It barely misses left, but it rolls like 5 feet past the hole. So a little white knuckler coming back, but right in the heart, moving on.
Almost hold the chip. It burned the edge of the cup. Now I am going to sit the putter down. I have a 4-footer with a break to get up and down. I'm putting you live by the cup.
Come on.
Up and down. All right, 18th hole. Let's go.
What you just heard was 8 straight pars. Now, while a year ago, this would have sent me home with the happiest smile on my face, today, it meant 8 straight holes without a birdie.
Come on. Come on. Get rid of those nerves. Get rid of those nerves. You got to think positive thoughts. Think positive. You've hit the ball well all day. Do not tense up here. Where's my candle? I need a candle right now. I need a candle in just 5 minutes. Candle in just 5 minutes. Tee shot out of the way. Good ball. Good ball almost exactly at my target line. 87 yards. Into the stick, crosswind. Haven't had a birdie all day. Would feel really good to get one to drop here.
I told Mike about the finish later that night. So I rehearsed my shot numerous times. I literally am thinking in the box, when I stand over this ball, I'm taking a full swing. I'm going to be confident. And I hit an awesome 56-degree wedge to about 12 feet.
Come on.
12, 15 feet, right around there. I'm uphill, and I'm thinking I'm going to drain this freaking putt.
Come on, baby.
I measure it out. I take my sweet time. I look at it from the back of the hole, the front of the hole. I mark my ball. I get everything lined up.
12 feet. Which way is this breaking?
It's breaking to the right, uphill. So my only thought is, do not leave this putt short. I take it back.
I'm scared a little bit.
And it lips out.
Oh.
And it lips out, and it throws me 6 feet above the hole.
What?
Now I'm downhill with a break.
Whoa, so it broke, it lipped out on the low side?
It lipped out on the high side, and then it turned it a little bit to the right, and then it didn't slow it down. It's like it picked up steam. So
Did you hit this putt?
I didn't think I killed it, but it was ridiculous.
Did you spray the deer antler spray before you hit it?
I was so angry. So now I'm like 5-6 feet behind the hole. I'm hitting down, and now I have a break on the putt.
Oh,
and I'm so mad, and it pains me to say I missed my comeback putt by an inch.
No.
So I finished with a 77. I went one over on the back. I had 8 pars. I hit 12 greens in regulation and 10 fairways on the day.
12. Holy cow.
I should have shot a 73 today. 74.
Yeah, 77 with no birdies. That's sick.
I mean, I probably had 4 putts that either lipped out or burned the edge.
Dang.
So,
well, hey,
I said at the end of it.
77, though.
I know.
A 77. You're back right now.
I said at the end of it, I was like, I can't believe I'm walking off the course with a 77 and I feel a little bit defeated. But I hit the ball really, really well today. Like, I can't be that upset. And honestly, of all the things I've been working on for 2 weeks, it has not been my putting. And you know how this goes. Because for a while, I was like, man, is something wrong with my putting stroke again? But honestly, here's what happened. these greens were so fat. They're so much faster than what I'm used to playing at Lakeside. And you know how it is when you're not confident in the speed of the green, you putt tentatively.
Yep.
And that's how I putted all day. Like, I just putted scared because I could not get comfortable with how fast the greens were rolling. And it just caused me to, it really caused me to putt scared. I mean, literally for 18 holes.
And you're not going to make much like
that. And you're not going to make anything doing that. So anyway, I after I got out, I mean, all in all, for the last 2 months that I've been on, it was a great round. I mean, 12 greens in regulation, 10 fairways. I hit the ball so well. My irons were great. My driver was great. The score, while it is great to be back in the 70s, the score did not represent how I hit the ball today. But that did put me back to a 7.1. So
all right, there you go.
So there's positive momentum, my friend.
He's coming back. Okay. And speaking of coming back, I just want to bring it up one more time just to seal it.
I think I know where you're going.
This is a 77. Haven't seen one of these in a long time. Happens to not be at Lakeside. Can we make a pact? Can we take the blood oath right now?
I'm not going to play Lakeside again unless I get a warm day after the last major. I'm not playing Lakeside again.
Yes. There he is.
I can't do it.
Before we go any further, I just want to thank all the listeners who gave Eli a hard time about playing Lakeside. Thank you so much. You arguably saved this podcast. Now, as for my round, my recent rounds have been plagued by slow starts, which, it could be argued, is due to me running on the course with no warm-up on most golf league nights. But for this round, I told Eli before the round there was no way I was doing that. I was going to do a full warm-up, even if it meant I couldn't complete 18 holes.
So it's like I just got to start quick today.
Mm-hmm.
But starting quick might mean, here's what it might mean for me. Because I had the exact same thought. Here's what it might mean. I might only play 9.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to hold to that.
I got to the course. I went in. I paid and went to the putting green. I'd struck 2 putts when in the corner of my eye, I noticed the back 9 was wide open. Not today, I thought. I'm going to practice. I struck another putt and then looked again. I thought for about 2 more seconds, and then I completely abandoned practice and headed for the 10th.
Screw it, let's go.
I almost immediately regretted that decision.
Oh, Joe was just in position A on 11. Had 80 yards into the flag from the fairway. Chunked it in the bunker. Bogeyed. Might be paying for the decision right now. Swing feels a little loose. I think I could have used a couple swings on the range. Daggone it. Oh, bogey on the par 5 13th. I'm 2 over after 4 holes. Got to turn it on right now.
Oh, don't do that. Good gracious, Rick.
Setting up for a cut and hit a double cross. Daggone it. 3 over after 5. Something's got to click. Quickly.
I birdied the 15th to stop the bleeding, but my swing was still leaking oil.
Hanging around. This round has alligator blood right now. No fairway, no green, but a nice up and down. Flop shot up and down on 16.
I scrambled my face off on 16, 17, and 18, and somehow finished my front nine with a duct tape together 2 over 38. But the duct tape did not hold long. I four-putted. Yes, I four-putted the first hole for a double bogey, then bogeyed the easy par 3 second, and I was 5 over for the day on the third, the hardest hole in the course, and I roped a drive left.
That drives left. Killed, but left. It's going to block me out. Jack Nicklaus hook time.
Here we go. This is ill-advised. Ill-advised. We've got a hole about 6 feet wide. This is not smart. Oh my gosh. Didn't go through the 6 foot wide hole, went through the 2 foot wide hole. Left of the green, got a chance for an up and down. Flop shot to 2.5 feet. Par. Good gracious. I now had 6 holes left. That shot through the woods had given me a jolt. And with daylight fading, I went from my usual pace of warp speed straight to ludicrous speed. And a funny thing happened. Running on 100% feel, everything turned around. Oh, if it held. If it just held 3 feet, we're in good shape. Oh, baby, be right. Come on. Come on. Whew. Needed that so bad. Whew, and I'm glad that hit the hole. That was racing. Huge birdie. 4 over. Sun going down. It's gonna be a race to get hit to finish. Oh, there we go, Rick. Rick. Oh, come on, Rick. Another big up and down on the par 5 sixth. 3 to play. Be right. Come on. Come on. Running in between shots right now. The sun is almost down. There you go, Rick. That 4-iron was blistered. 119. Oh, please. Come on, Rick. Looks about 15 feet. 15 feet uphill, I can give this a run. Come on, one time. One time. One time. Come on! It's a birdie on 8. I'm running to 9. My last of the day. Come on. All right. Tees are a little up today. 167 on this par 3 night. Let's finish this off right. Oh, one time. Go in. Oh, it's on the back. Whew. All right, that's going to be a hard putt. Great shot. Rick, should have never said anything bad about you. You've come alive. Rick has come alive these last 6 holes.
I told Eli the finish later that night.
And literally, it is a foot. It's a green that slopes back to front.
Mm-hmm.
And at these green speeds, it would have taken the slope and kind of funneled back to the hole. It's a foot on top of the ridge.
Oh.
So I've got about 30 feet down the hill, straight down the hill. I run it 5 feet by, and I make the putt.
75?
75.
Look at him.
37, 75.
So what are you at now? Did you crack the fives?
Well, here's what I didn't know. I didn't realize until I plugged it in that this round was replacing a 76.
Ooh. So you improved.
I did improve, but I just didn't realize that I've got a bunch of rounds. I actually thought I was going to be replacing a round that was like an 8.9 differential. And instead, I only replaced a round one shot worse. But I was at a 6.0. This takes me to a 5.9. So, Dad,
eat it. Wow. Look at him.
Of course, I think what my dad would say is 5.9 is kind of a 6.
It's basically a 6. But it's really not.
So, Dad, you're still just incredibly accurate.
You're just barely off of perfectly accurate.
But it starts with a 5, my friend.
Wow. That's huge.
So that's it for now. We're at 5.9 and 7.1 indexes, respectively. We've kept the pipe dream of scratch mathematically alive for now. Only 4 weeks remain, and only 2 weeks until we go to Alabama. How will we prepare? Next time on Chasing Scratch. Thanks, as always, so much for listening today. If you like this podcast, please leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Special thanks to ReconBM, Reviewer Plus, Ishborg, Joshua337, and Mark G for your reviews. We appreciate the kind words, fellas. We were mixed today, as always, by Lenny Sterner, directed by KF Rager. Production support came from Flatside. Sound equipment provided by Leading Technologies, CB Titch, and J. Keat 2003. As another reminder, we'll be putting out a special bonus mailbag edition in the next couple days. Music credits are in the show notes, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh. My putt went over the edge of the cup.
Do I just need to, even when I'm playing with people, do I just need to run in between shots?
Okay, that noise you heard was a tap-in par, not a birdie. Otherwise, you would have heard me screaming like a madman. You would have probably heard the steps of some sort of galloping.
We've gotten quite a lot of feedback on your mental breakdown. The listeners are heavily concerned, specifically with my favorite line and your favorite. I think it was your favorite line too, when your Velcro line, when you said that your Velcro was pointing too far up. For my money, it doesn't get any better than that.
The Beautiful Mind segment, it did not do me any favors, if I'm just being honest.
It did. It made you sound like a complete psychopath.
Oh, man.
I got to give all the credit to Lenny Sterner in the editing room. Lenny.
Good work, Lenny. Yeah, that was not... That was a low life point. Unfortunately, I didn't think it was any lower than that. And then...
Here we go.
And then I was listening to a couple old shows
from last year, and I think I just hit that point once every month, so I should probably be used to it by now.
So you should bounce back.
I should be. It should invigorate me. Actually, it should. It should Kilmer me. It should drive me to Kilmering.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. It's that time of month when I freak out like a psycho and start talking about my Velcro. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm walking out that door. You come right by me. Let's go.
I'm talking about my Velcro and my elbow and my groin. Let's go. Let's go. Elbow in front of the right hip. Let's go. Let's go. Toes counterclockwise. Let's go. Let's go. I'm going to find. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to Kilmer my thing right into my way right into this title. I am going.
Let's go. Let's go.
I'm going to find my swing. I'm going to make these adjustments. I'm going to work my freaking tail off for the next 4 weeks. I'm going to get hot. I'm going to dice Lakeside. I will put up a 75 at Lakeside before I get to Alabama. There will be a 75 hung on Lakeside. And I will be at a 6 at some point before I get to Alabama. You heard it here first.
Wow.
Let's go, let's go.
That is a straight Kilmer.
And if not, I guarantee you I'm going to keep some running back from going to Brown. You can bet on that.
Don't think I can't screw with your scholarship, too.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
Is that a new rule that any golfer that we play with that's in school, like Spence on the Alabama trip, do we walk up to him and just say, "Hey, don't think I can't mess with your scholarship too." Where are we headed tonight? The Alano Club.
Where are you looking at memberships? Yep. Just joined the Alano Club. Great track.
Great track. I give it a 10.
A 10.
10. Oh, man. What were we even talking about?
I have no idea.